So Colossians 3, what was it? 1 through what? 1 through 4, thank you. What a privilege to be able to read and to hear God's word, right? So Lord, just help us, our hearts, to hear what you have for us today. 3, 1 through 4, Colossians 3, 1 through 4. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. So I can't read. Is that it?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. I write in my Bible. Okay, thank you. Here ends the reading of God's word. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. You enjoy your extra hour of sleep today? Well, I think it had an adverse effect on me. I'm more tired now. So you all know I'm a little bit new up here, and the Lord has been doing a work in me trying to transition from teaching to preaching, and it's been amazing what he has done through your prayers and through a lot of patience and help from Ryan and James. So as we get started here, let me pray for us, and we'll get into God's word this morning. Heavenly Father, this morning as we are gathered here, Lord, we come to praise you and to lift you up and just glorify your name. We thank you for such a wonderful time of worship and seeing the young people up here, Lord, just praising you and leading us in worship. We just thank you for that. And we thank you for the Christmas boxes and the video we saw there, and see you at work in this world, Lord, through your church. And we just love you this morning. We thank you for being with us. We pray for your spirit to move in our hearts, Lord. Just help us to understand your word, that it would be your words, Lord, not mine. We just step aside and let your spirit speak through your word. We love you, and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, we're going to continue through the letter to the church at Colossae. We've seen in chapter 1, Paul has been teaching biblical truth to confront the false teachers that say Christ is not enough for salvation. Paul has been teaching on the deity of Christ, on his preeminence in all things, and that we are redeemed and reconciled to God in Christ alone through his blood shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In chapter 2, Paul moves on, warning us about following false teaching instead of Christ. The five areas of false teaching that he spoke on were philosophy, the traditions of men, legalism, the worship of angels, and asceticism, which is self-abuse. The false teachers were distorting the truth. Paul repeatedly brings our attention back to the truth. Everything we need is in Christ alone. In chapter 1, beginning in verse 4, we are to have faith in Christ. And then verse 9, be filled with the knowledge of his will with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Verse 10, he goes on to say, apply this understanding so that we walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in every good work, continuing to increase in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, be strengthened according to his power for patience and long suffering with joy. Verse 14, understand that redemption and forgiveness of sins are in Christ alone, and that Jesus has reconciled us to God. Paul summarizes these truths in one glorious statement, one of my favorite verses, Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Apostle Paul wants the same mindset for the church That's us that he modeled in his own life. Philippians 1:20, Paul's cry, to live is Christ. Let the thought of our minds, the cry of our hearts be to live is Christ as we move into the application of these biblical truths beginning in chapter 3. The reading again, Colossians 3:1-4. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Paul's emphasis in these verses is in our life in Christ. Note the phrases, you have been raised with Christ. Seek things where Christ is. Your life is hidden with Christ, and when Christ, who is your life. Christ is our life. He is the life we seek after, the life we are to set our minds on. Since we truly died with Christ, then we also have been raised with him to a new life. Our profession of faith in baptism symbolizes that transformation. In Romans 6:4, it says, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. This new life, energized by the Holy Spirit, prompts in us a desire to seek the things of heaven. Not only are we to seek the things of heaven, but we are to set our minds on heavenly things. Matthew 6, Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. In his prayer to the Father in John 17, Jesus says that his disciples are not of this world, just as he is not of this world. He does not ask that the Father should take them out of the world, but that he would protect them from the evil one. The devil is the ruler of this world, and he wants us to love the things of this world. He does not really care what we pursue here on earth, so long as we are not seeking the things of God. He's not even opposed to religion, so long as it is the false religion of this world that condemns us to hell. Just as Satan offered Jesus the things of the world when he tempted him in the wilderness, so he will tempt us with the things of this world. Hebrews 4:14-15 says, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. How did Jesus stand firm against the devil when he was tempted in the wilderness? He stood on the promises of God in the Word of God. When the temptations and trials come, when our health is failing, when our finances are depleted, or disaster strikes our loved ones, how are we to endure such things? We too must stand on God's promises, revealed in his word. We have this promise in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Jesus had only one motivation on earth, that was to do the will of his Father. John 6:38, Jesus says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. From the beginning, this was Jesus' heart and mind were. Remember the story of Jesus celebrating the Passover when he was 12 years old. Luke 2:41-49 says, and his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And fulfilling the days as they returned, the boy Jesus stayed in Jerusalem. And Joseph, his mother, and his mother did not know, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they looked for him among the kinsfolk and acquaintances, and when they did not find him, they turned back to Jerusalem seeking him. And it happened that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both hearing them and questioning them. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers, and seeing him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you done so to us? Behold, your father and I have looked for you greatly distressed." And he said to them, "Why do you look for me? Do you not know that I must be about my father's business?" His mind was always set on things above. It was set on doing the will of his father. This is how we also will stand in the day of trial and temptation. This is how we are to live our lives before the world as a light shining in the darkness, which the world will see and glorify God. We begin in verse 1, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God." Since we have truly died to our sin and have been raised with Christ to a new life, this new life in Christ prompts in us the desire to seek those things which are above where Christ is. A desire to leave behind the things of the world and seek those things which are above where Christ is. No longer seeking our own will, but seeking his will for us. This desire is impossible apart from the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, whom we received when we believed. Ephesians 1:13-14 says, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." It is the regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit within us that empowers us to seek these heavenly things. Titus 3:4-6 tells us, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior." Apart from the working of the power of God, the regeneration of the Holy Spirit within us, we are unable to make this transformation. On our own, we can clean up our act. We also can increase our knowledge of God, but we cannot sustain this new life and will eventually fall back into our old sinful nature. It is only when we are filled up with the indwelling power of the Spirit of God that we can truly die to our worldly habits, replacing them with new heavenly habits. Listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew 12:43-45. "When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, but finds none. Then it says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when it comes, it finds the house empty, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and brings with it 7 other spirits more evil than itself. And they enter and dwell there, and the last state of the person is worse than the first. So also will it be with this evil generation." The person in this story is trying to make moral reform in their life without the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. The problem is that once moral reform was made, represented by the unclean spirit going out, the old way of life was not replaced with a new way. The old life cleaned up is represented by the house that is now clean and orderly, but it was empty and susceptible to the return of the old way of life. When it does return, the person is worse off than they were originally. When we died with Christ, we were raised with him and filled with the Spirit of God. This is our new life that fills us and replaces our old way of life. If then we have died with Christ and we have been raised with him, we are set free from our sin. We are no longer enslaved by our sinful nature, but we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We now no longer seek worldly things, but we seek the things above where Christ is seated. The structure of the Greek wording here describes an ongoing, continual seeking of things from above. It is no longer our habit to seek the things of this world, but we are continually and intentionally seeking Christ and the blessings of heaven. Though we live here in this world, our citizenship is in heaven. Since we are raised to a new life in Christ, we should be conformed to our heavenly life, where our citizenship is. This is where our Lord is seated at the right hand of God. Sitting at the right hand of God is the highest position of honor. This is the exaltation of Jesus, showing his preeminence in all things. Ephesians 1:19 through 23 explains it this way. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us, the ones believing according to the working of his mighty strength, he worked in Christ in raising him from the dead. And he seated him at the right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality and authority and power and dominion and every name being named. Not only in this world, but also in the coming age. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. This is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is our Lord Jesus, the exalted Son of God, seated in his rightful place at the right hand of God. So we set our minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. As our desire moves from seeking the things of the world to seeking the things of heaven, we must set our minds on the things of heaven to discover and understand them. To set our minds is to think on things of heaven. This should be our inner disposition since we are in Christ. When our inner disposition is focused on heavenly things, our external life will begin to reflect those heavenly things. As our mind is set on heavenly things, desires for the things of the world will diminish. We must train our minds by constantly setting them on the things above to push out the things of the world. So how do we effectively set our mind on those things that are above, those things that are pleasing to God? As we take in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit illuminates it in our minds so that we can understand it and apply it. We are unable to escape the corruption and sin of this world apart from the power of Christ dwelling in us. It is the power of the Holy Spirit within us who illuminates the Word of God in our minds that we may become more like Him and less like the world with its sinful desires. In 2 Peter 1:3 through 4, Jesus' divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. We are unable to set our minds on heavenly things apart from the renewing work of the Holy Spirit within us. No one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God that teaches us truth, and God's word is truth. We are no longer being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. As the Spirit of God works in us, he turns our thoughts away from worldly things and sets them on the things that are above. Listen to Jesus' prayer in John 17:17-19. Praying for his disciples, he says, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in the truth." Jesus prayed that his disciples would be sanctified, that is, set apart to God by the word of God. This sanctification is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Heavenly realities are revealed to us as we study God's word. As the Spirit of God illuminates the word of God, our minds are set on things above where Christ is. Our minds are transformed, our thoughts, our words, and our actions are transformed also. We begin to walk as Jesus walked. The Apostle Peter explains it this way in 1 Peter 1, 22-23. "Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of a perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God." The Spirit of God leads us to turn away from the things of this world that tempt us and turn us toward heavenly realities revealed in God's word. It is the word of God that is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 119:11, "I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." The more that we take in the word of God, the more the Holy Spirit illuminates it in our minds, the more we begin to understand the things from above, the things of heaven. Now, I cannot steal Ryan's thunder in the upcoming messages. But I would say that as we proceed through this chapter, we will learn some of what we are to set our minds on, what those heavenly things are and what they are not. As we move on to verse 3, consider this one statement from the Apostle Paul, Philippians 4:8. "Finally, my brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are right, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is any praise, think on these things. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." When we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, he saved us. We died to our sins. We died to our old way of life. We died to our fleshly nature. We died to our old self. The Apostle Paul asks a question in chapter 2. "Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why do you act as though you live according to the world?" We were united with Christ in his death. He paid the penalty for our sins, and we were raised to a new life in him. Our new life is now hidden with Christ in God. How can we be any more secure than to be hidden with Christ in God? Our new life is our spiritual life in Christ. Our outward external life is in this world, but our inner spiritual life is in heaven with Christ in God. We have a common spiritual life with the Father and the Son. This is the life about which Jesus prayed to the Father for us. Again, in John 17, verses 20 and 21, Jesus praying, "And I do not pray for these alone, but for those also who shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." Jesus' prayer for us. Our life with Christ is hidden within God. The world cannot receive or understand our new life, for they have not received the Holy Spirit. Consequently, they do not have spiritual discernment. Only for those who are in Christ is our life not hidden, because it is spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2:12 through 14 says, "But we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit from God, so that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not understand nor receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." The world will see glimpses of this hidden life, but will not understand it. As we seek and set our minds on heaven, as we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, as we endeavor to walk as Jesus walked, we will live differently from those of the world. This difference is noticeable and will catch their attention. This is how we let our light shine among men, that they may see our good works and glorify God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. When we died, we no longer belong to this world, but to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our life. He will one day appear again with those who have joined him in heaven to set up his millennial kingdom. The world does not know us because it did not know him. It has not been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. We shall have a glorified body just like his. What a glorious day it shall be, amen. Since we have this hope in us, the hope of one day realizing our citizenship in heaven, let us serve the Lord Jesus in the here and now, by turning away from the things of this world that are keeping us from a full commitment to him. When we begin to seek and think of heavenly things, our minds begin to be conformed to him, and we are transformed out of this worldly life and into the life that the Lord Jesus wants for us. The life where God makes us alive with Christ, raised us up and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. A final word of encouragement from the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 15:57 through 58. "But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just are gathered here today, Lord, and we are grateful for your word and the power of your Spirit within us to help us walk in a way that is pleasing to you, Lord, to draw us out of this world, to take us to heaven, Lord, that we might serve you in this world, that you might fill us with the power of your Spirit, Lord, that we might be a light for you shining in the dark places here. This world needs you so, so badly, Lord. Help us as we go out today to be filled up, to shine as a light for you, Lord. Drive your word home into our hearts and our minds that we might serve you and you alone. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.